This is Faith Footnotes with Northwestern Publishing House, Episode 4, Being Thankful Every Day. Welcome to Faith Footnotes, Christian Conversations with Northwestern Publishing House. You can find us online at nph.net. My name is Joshua Vick.
And I am Tanya Gerbing.
And we are your hosts for Faith Footnotes.
Like our name suggests, this is a Christian podcast that is all about practical resources for connecting with Christ and Christian living. Typically, we will feature engaging conversations with Christian authors, explore helpful answers to common questions about the Christian life, dig deep into faith-related topics, and more.
Welcome to the show, everyone. A recent YouGov study polled Americans to find out which holiday they most enjoyed. And believe it or not, the number one holiday was, of course, Christmas Day, with 36% of Americans choosing that. Any ideas what came in second?
Well, it has to be Thanksgiving, Josh.
You are right. 23% said Thanksgiving. It's really kind of an interesting holiday because the name of what you should be doing on that holiday is what we call the holiday, Thanksgiving, right? And you think about modern day Thanksgiving, where people are gathered around friends and family, people are watching parades, football, eating a lot of food. Sometimes that thanks part is lost, especially when you start to think about what happens the day after with all the Black Friday sales and the promotions and doorbusters, and it gets kind of crazy.
I have a plaque in my house, and it has this saying on it: what if you woke up today with only the things you thank God for yesterday? And every time I read that plaque, it's a reminder that I need to be better at being thankful. So let's ask this question: how can a Christian be thankful every day?
Joining us today to talk about this question is Pastor Andy Schreyer, author of the popular books 364 Days of Thanksgiving and 364 Days of Devotion. Pastor Schreyer also writes a syndicated devotional column in Texas and is the pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Edna, Texas. Welcome to the show, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Pastor, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I've been a pastor now for just a little over 25 years. I've served congregations in Mexico, in Miami, Florida, and now in Edna, Texas. I've been here in Edna for almost 20 years now. I met my wife, Clarissa. I met her when I was in Mexico. I served as a vicar, which is like an internship as a pastor during my seminary studies. And we met and ended up getting married. And I have two wonderful children, Isabel and Andy. Isabel's 20 and Andy's 16. We live small town Texas. That's where we're at.
So as mentioned, you are the author of the popular books, 364 Days of Thanksgiving and 364 Days of Devotion. What was the inspiration for your books?
Well, it goes back to some of the things we do here at our church. So for years, we've done English as a second language classes at our church, reaching out to the Hispanic population. And about 13 years ago, I got a phone call one Saturday morning from a man who was pretty distraught. His wife had just tried to kill herself. She was in the hospital. After talking to him for a while, because it was in Spanish, I realized that I had maybe met her once or twice from our English classes. She had come to a couple of English classes, and he didn't know where else to turn. So I went in to visit her. Turns out she was going through pretty severe postpartum depression and some other issues that we needed to get her connected to some resources. But the problem is that around here, there aren't a whole lot of resources, especially in Spanish. So I made a phone call to a friend of mine who's a Christian counselor named Dan Nominson. He's a counselor with the Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Services. And Dan gave me all kinds of great advice. But among the many things that he talked to me about was, he said, one of the issues when people get depressed is they tend to only see the negative, the bad things, and they fail to see all the good things. And he said, what you should do is have her get a notebook and put it by her bed. And every morning when she wakes up and every night when she lays down, she should write down one blessing, one good thing in her life, one thing that is going right in her life. But the real trick of it was she could never repeat. She always had to find something new. So we got my friend connected with a counselor down here, got her the medication she needed. We're serving her spiritually, but that we got her doing that as well. And she said of all the things that they did, that was what helped her the most. As her pages and her notebook filled up, she started to realize all the good things in her life, and that yeah, she had some hard things, but the good things way outweighed the bad things, that God had been very good to her. And it changed her life, she said. And so that moment, kind of a light bulb clicked in my head. And so I started encouraging other people to do it. I had a lady in our church whose husband died of cancer, and then her daughter died of cancer, and then she was struck with MS and was going through all kinds of stuff. And so she started keeping notebooks, and she does to this day. And there's stacks of notebooks in the nightstand by her bed. And I always think about her kids one day when they find those notebooks and read through them, the example of faith, that they're going to find their names in them, and it's going to be a real encouragement for them as well. And she says she does it every day. It's hard after years of doing it, but she still finds new things every time, because as the Bible says, God's mercies are new every morning. And so I got to thinking, you know, this is something I want to share with other people. So I sat down and wrote a little book about being thankful that has a journal in the back to encourage people to write down one thing every day for which they're thankful. But the only trick of it is that you can't repeat. You got to do a different thing every single day. And the book kind of took off. It went real well. People found it helpful. I've found that it's a very good counseling tool. A lot of people that deal with depression, this is a great thing to do. But for everybody, it's a good habit to get into, to look around you and see how good God has been to you every day. But included in that then, in the journal part, I had 26 devotions, little devotions, because people were like, well, it's hard to think of something new every day. So I put some devotions in there to get them thinking about things they don't normally think about. One of them is about the inventor of the toilet named Thomas Crapper. When was the last time we thanked God for indoor plumbing and that we have toilets? 150 years ago, people didn't have that. Or the fact that we can breathe, that we can walk, that we have all our teeth, that, you know, our children, the sunshine. There's so many good things. We'll never run out of things to thank God for. But I included those devotions in. And I had people enjoyed the book, but there was one complaint that people asked me, why didn't you include a devotion for every day? Then I'd have a devotion. And, you know, to read, and then I can write down the thing I'm thankful for. And my answer was, that's 365 devotions. That would take forever. Well, turns out it only took me about 8 years. I have a newspaper column that I write for a number of newspapers here in Texas. It's just a short little devotion. And after a number of years, well, I had enough then. So I adapted those, and that's where my second book came out, 364 Days of Devotion, that a devotion for every day with an opportunity again to write down one thing for which you're thankful. And that's kind of the story behind both books.
So there's 365 days in a year, but your books are called 364 days. Why is that?
Okay. Another good question. And everybody asks it. Part of it was just because I wanted to catch people's attention. But there's a reason for it. There's a very good reason. Charles Dickens, who's a famous British writer, wrote A Christmas Carol and a number of other famous books, A Tale of Two Cities. He had a famous quote that I found when I was working on my book that I just loved. He said that, and I'm paraphrasing here, I don't have it in front of me, but he said that we as Americans have it all mixed up. He said, instead of spending one day a year thanking God and the other 364 days whining and complaining, you should spend 364 days thanking God and spend the other day whining and complaining. I thought that I got a chuckle out of that. And so the whole idea of the book is to spend 364 days writing one thing down a day. But then on day 365, to go back and read through your year and see how amazing our God is and all the good things he did for you this year. It's really hard to get negative and be depressed. And when we see how good God has been to us and see all these amazing blessings. And so that's the reason for 364 days.
So your book, 364 Days, obviously talks about being thankful every day. And you mentioned all the things, a little bit of all the things we can be thankful for. Your first chapter is called Overwhelming Gratitude. And I'm wondering what the difference is, or how being thankful every day is related to gratitude, or the concept of counting your blessings. How are they related, and maybe what are the nuances of each term?
Well, you know, as Americans, and this is something we're talking about Thanksgiving today. I think Thanksgiving, being grateful and gratitude for our world today has become kind of a passive thing. And we talk about, I'm grateful, I'm thankful. And it's more of just a feeling in your heart instead of an action, instead of doing something. It's kind of hard to be great and thankful without having somebody to thank. And so that's the first and foremost, that we recognize that every good and perfect gift comes from our Father above. But then the other thing is this, is actually taking the time to recognize and say thank you for the gifts. You know, I talk about overwhelming gratitude instead of being the little kid who, when their parents, you know, somebody gives them a gift and the parents say, what do you say? Thank you. And they run off and don't even think twice about it. That we see examples in the Bible and that we live this, that of overwhelming gratitude, of recognizing, wow, God has showered me with so many good things that I don't deserve any of them. And that gratitude, that it shows itself in what we say, what we do. And there's a difference. It's an active thing instead of a passive thing.
In your book, 364 Days of Thanksgiving, you quote Cicero, and he says, gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others. And that made me think about my teaching days. I had the pleasure of teaching pre-kindergarten during the day, and then I taught adults at a technical college in the evening. I was teaching general education courses, and there was always a section about gratitude for the adults. And I always dreaded that, because every time I taught that and I told them to write down what they're thankful for, and they always resisted a little bit, and they thought, well, why do we have to do this? It's not important. When I taught pre-K, it was completely different. They were so excited to talk about what they were thankful for and tell everyone, I'm thankful for you, and tell their parents and tell all the other teachers and their friends. It was just such a stark contrast between the two age groups. What would you tell someone who thinks being thankful every day really isn't as important as what Cicero says?
Good question again. What I would say is this. I would say most people wouldn't say it's not important. Most people would say, I'm grateful. I'm already grateful. I don't need to do that. The problem is, if you look at people and their lives and their attitudes, you'll see that you know, the big reason people struggle so much in this world is because, with the people that struggle with depression and so forth, is because they fail to see the good. And they're frustrated about the bad, because that's one thing that Dan Amundsen taught me as well, is that the emotion of depression really isn't sadness, it's anger, it's frustration, and turning that inward and not being able to handle that. But you look at other people too, and they're not really happy in their lives. They're in the rat race, they're struggling, they're stressed out, they're busy with all these things. And a big part of it is because they're not seeing all the good in their lives, and sometimes they're thinking, I did this. Now, that's another big barrier to thankfulness, is thinking, look all that I accomplished. Look at all that I did. And a big secret to contentment and to Thanksgiving is to recognize that everything we have and everything we are is a gift of God's grace. We don't deserve any of this. We couldn't do any of this without Him. And as we recognize it, it changes our attitude, our outlook on life. It changes how it's a part of our faith as Christians. Faith and gratitude go hand in hand. And the more we recognize what God has done for us, the more it changes our lives.
Are there specific examples from the Bible you can give of people being thankful and being gracious?
Well, that's something I talk about a lot in the book. So a little side note. So the first book has three short chapters on what it means to be thankful and all these topics we're talking about today. And then the rest is just a journal. And my partner here in Texas, my fellow pastor, would always used to say, well, if I knew I could write a book with a bunch of blank lines in it and sell thousands of copies, I would have. And so I told him, now I handed him my other book, which has a lot of words in it. But the thing is, it's such a simple thing. But I mentioned in my first book, 364 Days of Thanksgiving, numerous examples of people in the Bible. You think of the 10 lepers and the one that came back and fell at Jesus' feet. I would like to think that all the other lepers were thankful for what God had done for them, but only one took the time to come back and recognize this is the giver of the good thing that I received, and to take that time. And he was overwhelmingly thankful. Or Zacchaeus, who when short little Zacchaeus in Jericho, when Jesus went and ate at his house and found in Jesus forgiveness, even for a dirty old greedy tax collector like him, he got so excited. He stood up. He said, I'm going to give it all away now, because you have given me something that's worth so much more. And that's the thing. When we see what God gives us, then we don't walk around saying, oh yeah, I'm grateful. I'm a grateful person. I'm thankful. When we see all the good things and we list them out and we say them out loud, we write them down and we say to God, thank you for this specific thing. It is life-changing. It's such a simple thing. Anybody can do it, but it changes your life.
So focusing a little bit more on gratitude, there's an interesting quote from a positive psychology article that reads, gratitude turns what little you have into abundance. Gratitude is so much more than saying thank you. Gratitude changes your perspective of your world. Have you experienced this as you've practiced being thankful?
I've experienced it personally, and as a pastor, I've seen it. I mean, and I would say amen to that statement, which is interesting because, you know, it's in a secular psychology magazine, but they recognize that gratitude, recognizing the good in our lives, is such a great thing. The sad thing is most people in our world just talk about being thankful or being grateful, and they don't have, you can't be thankful without having somebody to thank. And that's our God who gives us all this. But yeah, I see it. I've seen it practically again in a lot of counseling situations. Once you can get a person who is depressed to take the blinders off, I don't know if you know, blinders that horses have on there, and they can only see straight ahead. When we're down, when we're frustrated, any of us, even if we're not suffering from clinical depression, when things are going wrong, we tend to only see the bad things. And then when something else bad happens, we say, yeah, what else can go wrong? Of course, that happened too. Really, the heart of all this and the life-changing thing is taking those blinders off and seeing my cup isn't half empty. It's not even half full. It's overflowing with good things. And then especially when people get to the point in their faith that they recognize that even the hard things, even the things I'm struggling with, even these pains in my life, God says, this is going to be for your good one day. I've got plans and purposes for that. Good will come out of that, to the point where we can say, thank you, God, that I'm going through this terrible, horrible time right now. Not because I'm saying this is good, but I'm saying it's going to be for my good. And I know God loves me. Again, it's an attitude shift. And we all need this because we get so caught up in everything in our lives. And you know, it's good to take time to stop and smell the roses and then recognize where those roses come from.
You touched on a couple of key things. You said gratitude, you know, it's kind of a life-changing, active thing, and it's easy to do. You mentioned, obviously, writing in a journal, but what are some steps I can take today to kind of shift my mindset to becoming or focusing more on the things I'm thankful for?
Great question. And there's a couple of things we can do. Number one is to take the time. You don't have to write it down. I'm a firm believer that writing things down is good for us. And that's why I believe in the journal. But saying it out loud is good for us as well. And to take the time every day in prayer at the beginning of the day to thank God for the day he has given you, for the fact that you could open your eyes and breathe and walk and live for him here on earth. But then every night to sit in to take time in your prayers, as we say, ask God for help with our problems, as we ask him to forgive us for the dumb things we did today, to take time to thank him for the good things today. So that's one. Another one that I talk about in the book again, and I really believe this too, is that it's easy to say thank you. But thankfulness is really more than just words. I mentioned before that we do a lot in Spanish. I love the name for Thanksgiving Day in Spanish. In Spanish, it's called El Día de Acción de Gracias, which literally translates Thanks Action Day. And that's the thing, as Christians, our thanks is our lives of service to God. We thank him by giving back, by being generous people, by serving and helping, because God's been so good to us, we want to share that with others. And you want to talk about things that change lives, is not just it's, you know, the first step is recognizing how good God has been and changing that attitude. But then the joy of generosity, the joy of giving, God, that's one thing to be thankful for. As we give, it hurts sometimes, but the truth is that God blesses us with so much more and so many good things, and our hearts are filled, and you see people that are truly happy. It's the people that are thankful, are grateful, and that live that gratitude. Paul talked about in the end of Philippians, the secret of being content in any and every situation. And, you know, that's God gives us that help. And that's another thing that will help a lot, especially for people that are struggling to be grateful, people that are struggling to see those good things. Go back to God's word. Go back to his promises. He says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And God gives us the strength to be content, to be grateful, to be satisfied with what we have when we see in his word all the good things that he has given us. We need him to remind us of that. I mean, we can see the material blessings a lot, but then we remember, yeah, I'm also forgiven. And God is with me wherever I go, and he's working all things for my good. No matter what happens, I have forever in heaven. And just look how great heaven is going to be. And again, all of that changes us. One last thing about that, you know, I've often heard it said a long time ago. I don't know who to credit with this, but the secret of being content isn't getting what you want. It's appreciating what you've got. It's seeing all the good things God has given us. And then when we share and are generous, it takes that to another whole nother level. So living that life of thanks is a big deal.
So, Pastor, if I'm going to be completely honest, the list of things that I'm going to be thankful for each day are those things that make me happy. You're not going to find on my thankful list that my car broke down or, say, my water heater is leaking. Do people ever get to that point where they might list that?
Yes. In fact, I wrote an article. It's in my second book. I wrote a column, and it was on my blog years ago and so forth, called Thank God My Brother Has Brain Cancer. My brother was diagnosed with brain cancer 13 years ago, I believe, 12, 13 years ago. He's still with us, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing, my brother Adam. But it's been hard in so many ways for him. And I got so much grief for that article. People did not like that at all. I mean, there were a number of people that found it very encouraging, but for people that didn't get what I was saying, that was a hard thing to chew on, hard thing to swallow. That I could say, yes, this stinks. I don't want this for my brother, but I know that God has a plan for it and it's for his good. And my brother was the first to say, yes, this is so true. He said that nothing brought him closer to God more than him getting cancer. And it's true, because God had good things, but it's hard to do that in the middle of the storm. I'm not telling people that when you're in the hospital feeling lousy, that you need to jump up and down and celebrate. But there's a point in our faith we can get to that we can say, yep, even though this hurts and I hate this and this is hard, I know. Because in the end, you know, contentment isn't quite the same as happiness. It's not overwhelming joy where you're jumping up and down and celebrating. It's a peace. It's a strength. It's an inner thing that God gives us that I know. And so even though I'm hurting, even though there are tears running down my cheeks, I know it's going to be for my good. And I trust that. I always tell the story. I live on the Gulf Coast of Texas. And we live in what's called an estuarial zone. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before. But an estuary is where the salt water of the Gulf mixes with the fresh water of rivers. It's brackish water, okay? And certain animals and plants and stuff can only survive in this brackish water, this mix of salt water and fresh water. And I've often said that the heart of a Christian is an estuarial zone, because we feel the pain and the sorrow, and it hurts and it stinks. And it's okay to say that. Read the Psalms. It's okay to say to God, God, I hate this. This is horrible. Please take this away from me. And at the same time, even as we have salty tears of sadness coming down our cheeks, we can have the freshwater tears of joy, because we know the truth. I just had a funeral of a young man yesterday from our church, 24 years old. I've known him since he was 7 years old, killed in a car wreck a week ago. Church was full. We had people standing outside. People were everywhere and they were hurting. And yet we could still smile as he always smiled, because he was always smiling, because we know where he's at. So even as we hurt, we have this peace and this joy that God gives us. And going back to the gratitude, that's where this all comes in, because it helps us to remember that and see that as we keep that journal, as we go back to God's promises, it helps us to take those blinders off and see, oh, wait a minute. this is all going to be good. Right now, maybe not. This is hard, but it's going to be for my good. So I can say it as well with my soul, even as the storms are brewing and raging in my life.
What's one takeaway people can take into Thanksgiving that they can remember?
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost is just taking the time on Thanksgiving. We get so caught up with all the activities of Thanksgiving that we forget to actually give thanks. So a couple of things to do as families. There's two things that I would especially encourage. One is something my family always did when we were kids, which was kind of hard because there are 9 people in my family. So we'd go around and then we'd get with extended family. It'd be kind of hard, but my dad would start us off and we'd all have to say one thing we were thankful for. Very simple thing, except when you got all your brothers and sisters and a bunch of other people going before you, they all steal your answers. So, but that's a great little thing to do with your family as you sit down for Thanksgiving dinner. Everybody go around the table and say one thing you're thankful to God for, not just thankful to God for. But then the other thing, This is one, I did this one year. My kids thought, okay, this will be quick and this will be easy. I told them to go into their rooms. Okay, we're going to do a bunch of fun stuff today. But the first thing I need you to do is I need you to go in your room and make an inventory of everything you have, every single item, every list of, just write them down real quick for me. All the things that you have. And they never finished because the whole point is they're going to go, I have so much stuff, because we fail to see how incredibly rich we are, especially as Americans, and for our kids to just go in there and see that. And then usually what another little thing to add on to that with their kids then is to say, hey, okay, on this Thanksgiving Day, I'm going to pick out 3 things in here that I'd like to give to somebody else. And then you pick out those 3 things because, God, I've got so much stuff. I'm going to pick out 3 things to give. And then you take that down to Goodwill, or to you give them to your neighbors. You just give them away. And random acts of generosity are just fun anyways. You just give people things. I have a good friend who recommends people every so often do that at a restaurant. It's hard to do. It's a little scary to do, but you can, almost all of us can do it. Leave a $100 bill, write a crazy high tip on your bill, and just walk out the door, and you know, write God bless on there and just walk out. Random acts of generosity. There's true joy in that. And that's, again, this is all from our God, our good God, who's made us to be this way.
I had a friend who recently went to Culver's, and the person in front of them ended up paying for their meal. And the first thing they said is, okay, I have to do this next time. And it's just really cool to see how one act of kindness led, you know, someone else to wanting to repeat that.
Exactly. And that's where, you know, as parents and as families on Thanksgiving, that, you know, it starts with us as parents to be that example of generosity for our kids, because it is contagious. And we teach that to our kids. If we show that and then to other people. I've actually had that happen to me with my groceries before. I've done it with other people with their groceries. I can't tell you, it's just so much fun just to say, you go ahead, I got your groceries, and people don't even know what to do. And you just, yep, no, go, I got it. And God's been good to me. I'm going to be good to others.
Well, thank you, Pastor Schreyer, for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
You can find the show notes and links to all the resources discussed on today's show at blog.nph.net. Let us know what your biggest takeaway from today's show was in the comments section. Be sure to follow us on your preferred podcast platform. Next time, Pastor Biebert will join us to talk about Martin Luther's Christmas sermons to help us get ready for the season.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Faith Footnotes from Northwestern Publishing House. Keep the conversation going by visiting nph.net.